you can rely on Atlas Butler for all of your plumbing and drain service needs. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. One call truly does it all.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. The Soul of Business with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Soul of Business on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero. I'm joined on the phone today by Tomas Bodlow, CEO, Energy Solutions, APEC and Southeast Asia, head of ENGIE. We talk about adopting better green measures and sustainable business practices. Tomas, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Clarissa. Happy to be with you.
It is absolutely our pleasure. Now let's jump right in and start with the juxtaposition of our ever-growing energy needs on the one hand here in Singapore and the government's push for more sustainable practices among our businesses. How big of an ask is this of businesses?
Well, it can seem to be a daunting task, but I think it's important to remind ourselves of why we're putting all this emphasis on sustainability. And really, the big picture to be kept in mind is the one of the fight against climate change. As a matter of fact, we need globally to move towards carbon neutrality in a relatively short time frame if we want to have a chance to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees. And we don't have a lot of luxury for inaction. In fact, the IPCC released a couple of days ago its latest release on climate change. And what it shows is that we only have 3 years to achieve a peak in our CO2 emissions globally. And if we don't act fast, the consequence would be sheer. So going carbon neutral, as a country or as a business is by no means something you can improvise. Speaking from experience, ENGIE is a large utility and we have committed to reach carbon neutrality by 2045. It's not something we have started recently. We have been one of the first utility player to completely announce the exit of coal, of its activities. And when you look at our core business, which is essentially to produce and distribute power, reaching carbon neutrality on all of our scope of activities is really a tremendous task. But we have started this journey in 2015 in a very diligent way and in organized fashion. And I'm happy to report that today we have slashed our emission by more than 50%. So if we can do it, we believe the world can do as well. And this is why we have repurposed and reposition our company now to help our clients to define and engage into their energy transition journey. And the good news, and it's really a positive aspect I want to share with you and your auditors today, is that by planning and strategizing about this transition, all businesses can engage today in their transformation and start really make a difference. The technologies are here.
Okay, you said ENGIE itself has a target of 2045. Are you going to make those targets?
Yes, for sure.
As I said, that's very confident.
No. We're absolutely sure. We, as I said, we have slashed our emissions by more than 50% in the span of 7 years now. Mm. So it's really a rapid pace we have engaged into. We are deploying worldwide 4 gigawatts of renewable on a yearly basis. So that's massive investment we are doing to deploy green energy all across the globe. And we're working actively to make our gas green. And we are very strong promoter of biogas or green hydrogen for the future of energy systems. So things are going to be challenging, but we are definitely going to reach our goals.
Okay, now the reason I ask you that is the energy demand in Southeast Asia is expected to increase by 60% by 2040. That's not long away. In line with the region's rapid economic growth, increasing industrial activities, growing population, rising incomes, which means affluence, governments are putting in measures such as reducing carbon emissions. But the question is it enough? Does there need to be penalties put in place to support all these measures that governments are trying to put in place?
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. The growth of the region will put the energy system of Southeast Asia under some strain. And what drives a lot the energy consumption, in particular in Southeast Asia, is the cooling need. This cooling need is meant to double in the next 10 years. And, you know, if we are continuing to do business as usual, deploying systems that are not necessarily efficient or not being careful about the way we consume energy, it will be almost impossible to stick to the 1.5 degrees I was referring a bit earlier. So this is why at ENGIE we're very strong promoter of technologies which can help cope with demand, to lower the demand and the need in energy, but also that are efficient to deliver the same level of service that people enjoy. You know, for example, district cooling, which is an infrastructure that we can deploy to cool and provide air conditioning to entire districts or cities even, come up with a 20 or 30% increased efficiency versus traditional systems. So by technology, you can really accomplish wonders. So now if you put yourself in a government position, what are some of the levers you can action? Obviously, there is impact you can achieve by channeling public investments. And I think in Singapore, a remarkable job has been done to embed into new urban development, for example, district cooling solution at design stage. So a lot is being done to promote the right technological solution, which is very very comforting. And to go a bit further, you know, there is a wide range of regulatory constraints you can put in place, but also incentives that can drive adoption of technology. And that, I think, as well, well-planned, well-communicated industry players can prepare themselves and achieve very, very credible results. But you're absolutely right. Sometimes the constraint is also necessary. And when we talk about carbon tax, I mean, the position of ENGIE and my position as well on a personal matter is that this type of tax is absolutely relevant. You know, it's normal for a business to pay for the pollution it generates. So it's, in a way, a compensation for external negative externalities that the business are generating. And what is very important if you want it to be efficient, again, is that the carbon tax is sized in a sufficient way to promote investment in efficient technologies, but as well as to plan well ahead and let the business know what is coming so that they can anticipate. And again, you would be surprised of the innovative power of our industries once they have clear visibility on what's to come.
So what you're saying is incentives are great, particularly incentives to adopt the technology that will help reach these goals. But on the other hand side, you do need the regulation and potentially the penalties as well.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's a bit the carrot and
the carrot and the stick. Okay. Now, in Budget 2020, the Singapore government announced that it will quintuple the carbon tax rate in 2024. And you already brought that up, before raising it progressively through to the end of the decade. Now, not everybody agrees with this. Not everybody was happy with this announcement. But it does mean that organizations are going to have to invest in alternative energy, solar energy, renewable energy. So what are the best options? Because now it's no longer a question of maybe I'll think about it. Now they have to think about it.
Yeah, I always like to simplify things, you know, they are easy to approach. When we go and speak to our clients at ENGIE, what we pitch is that we come up with solutions that help them reduce their energy need on the one hand and consume greener energy on the other hand. And the great news for your listeners and business owners is that both come up at the cost advantage. So there is merit to reduce your energy footprint. There is merit to switch to renewable today. Let me start maybe by the demand side, the energy footprint. You know, obviously, there is no cheaper energy or no cleaner energy than the one you don't consume. It's a very simple fact. And beyond that's very related, obviously, there is no single scenario according to which we would keep global warming on a 1.5 degree path that does not include a massive contribution from energy efficiency measures. So to give you some very concrete example on what does it mean, what it can encompass. I already touched point on some technologies that are very relevant for Southeast Asia, such as district cooling. But more fundamentally, there are so much you can do to limit your usage and your demand of energy without putting yourself on too many constraints. If I take a very basic example in Singapore, we've all been, you know, to a movie house, bringing a sweater, an extra blanket, and still freezing to death. So is it really necessary to enjoy a good movie that the room is cooled at 16 degrees? Not really, I think. We can all cope with the 20, 21, 22 degrees. And if we adopt that type of behavior, the amount of energy you can save, and that translates also in dollar value, you know, is quite significant. The great thing about technology today is that you have a wide range of digital-driven, sensor-driven algorithms you can put in place to automate our management of energy so that being more responsible, being more sober in our use doesn't come with any pain, if you want, in our daily lives or in our businesses. And so really, this is what we are promoting with Engie for industrials, for office owners, malls. And there are so many things we can deploy that come up with a bit of smart edge, you know, to put automation in a building, such as when nobody's in the room, there is no light. Or to adjust the cooling of a building to the number of people that are working in this building at any given point in time. All of this can be done relatively easily with today's technology and come up with a great cost and CO2 advantage. So that's the first angle you can pursue as a business, which is basically consuming less. The other aspect is to switch your energy mix to renewable. And here as well, there is a great news is that in particular in Southeast Asia, solar, the energy from the sun, is the cheapest form of energy. So there is absolutely, it's a no-brainer to put solar on your factory, on your rooftop, if you are an industrial or if you are a mall or whatever facility owner. And I really believe there is a strong case, it will be coming a norm in the months and years to come, to deploy solar at scale on all the buildings of Southeast Asia. The question is how to do it efficiently and really at pace to make a difference.
You know, you brought up something very, very interesting. I have always wondered this myself, not just movie theaters, but any building in Singapore, retail building, office building, why are they all so cold?
No, that's a great question. I think there is a level of comfort that we wanted to achieve, and that's, of course, well understood. But an adjustment of this comfort expectation can be done, and people live by it very well. Look at what has been done in Japan after Fukushima. There was reduced usage of air conditioning. People lost the tie during summer months, you know, which was a big thing culturally for Japan people, and it works well.
I totally agree with that. I mean, I see no point in working in a building so cold that you need a sweater or a pullover or a jacket. At that point, you know, make it a little bit warmer in the building. You don't need your sweater. You don't need to carry around extra clothing. And it's not so jarring when you walk outside.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, In your opinion, before we run out of time, are we on track to meet Singapore's ambition of reaching net zero emissions by mid-century?
You know, of all the places, I really have full confidence in Singapore's ability to reach this ambitious target. There have been some really clear steps going in the right direction taken by the government. The Singapore Green 2030 plan is ambitious, is clear, is really driving a lot of projects all across the nation. So I think that sets a really great pace for the 10 years to come. Of course, the journey is longer than this, and Singapore has strong constraints to work around. In particular, the geography is not helping because of the scarcity of land. It will require from the country to source part of its energy from neighboring countries, importing green electricity from Malaysia or Indonesia, for example. But you could imagine as well that you could import green hydrogen from Australia and really make a beautiful reconversion of the gas infrastructure that's been developed in Singapore over the past few years. So I think the pace is here. There are constraints, but they can be overcome. But the government alone, you know, is not enough. It requires all the business commitment to make things move. And reaching carbon neutrality by 2050 would be a great achievement, but in itself, it's not enough. The really important thing is how fast we can go there. I think that push and brings up a fantastic opportunity for all industries all across the countries to jump right now on their transition plan. As I said, by consuming less and by consuming greener, you know, there are strong economies and positive outcome for your P&L you can derive. So there is no more really excuse to delay this transition towards carbon neutrality. And we have to organize ourselves so that through partnership, through deployment of technologies at scale, we can really make the biggest impact in the fastest fashion. But I'm very optimistic.
Okay, now thank you very much for that. But you're right, you know, and my takeaway from everything that you said is this: the government's not enough, because everyone has to do their part as well. And that includes all the companies. So if they don't do it, then we won't make those targets, whatever the government does. So everyone needs to buy in and get going on that as well.
Yes, and you know, it's also something that's necessary for the businesses in terms of attractiveness. Their employees, each business's employees, shareholders, and stakeholders more globally, they are asking for all of our activities to go carbon neutral. This is not really a luxury anymore. And again, since there is an economic case to jump into a transformation right now, there is no more excuse for inaction.
I love that. We'll end on that. We've been speaking with Thomas Baudelot, CEO, Energy Solutions, APEC and Southeast Asia, Head of Energy. Thomas, thank you so much for the time and the insight. I've enjoyed the conversation.
Me too. You're most welcome, Clarissa. Take care.
You too. I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. You're with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.